Lord's servants at a down time in his life. One of the two major passages, Jeremiah, when he takes his complaints to the Lord. So who was Jeremiah? Well, Jeremiah was one of the outstanding prophets of the Old Testament. He had a tremendous difficulty and challenge in his life. In fact, he was so significant that if you look over there, we've done it before, but just a reminder, in Matthew chapter 16, we see how significant he was. Matthew chapter 16, when the Lord takes his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, and verse 14, so 16, 14. And they said, when he asked, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, Elijah, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And so here we see the exaltation of Jeremiah as a great prophet in the Old Testament. And yet in his greatness of his calling and his faithfulness to his calling, he had down moments in his life, and the Lord had to deal with him. So this passage, chapter 15, also chapter 20, he makes his complaints to the Lord, and he's very frank with the Lord. And in this passage, he even calls the Lord a liar. This is strong, strong language of a saint of God. And yet we see he had an old nature like us. We have an old nature like him. And at times our old nature can show its ugliness. And so we have this Jeremiah. All right, so in chapter 15 now. Last time we got started on this. And now we're going to pick it up in verse 13. So here, at the review, we see that he says here that the Lord, well, let's put it this way, he blames his mother. Verse 8. So he says in verse 7, I will fan them with the fan of the gates of the land, and I will bereave them, their children, and destroy the people, so on. So here's this message, and he says, their widows are increased to me above the sand, the sea that I brought upon them against the mother of the young. He talks about the mother there. And later on in verse 10 now, he talks about his mother. So in verse 10, says, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife. So here he's blaming somebody for his difficulties. So this is part of his bitter complaint. So it starts in chapter 10, or excuse me, in verse 10, goes through verse 18. And so he cries out to the Lord. And so here we see one of the best prophets in the Old Testament. Some thought that Jesus was the coming of Jeremiah. You see, one of the best prophets in the Old Testament had his worst situation. And so we'll look later here what he says about the heart. But all this is about the heart. So verse 13, thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. So he's talking about what the Lord's responding to him. Back in verse 12, he says, shall iron break the northern iron and the steel? So he understands that as the Babylonians come in, it's going to be like they're trying to break steel. They're not going to have a chance against the Babylonians. So Jeremiah continued his bitter complaint. The man Jeremiah was not enjoying his calling in life and serving the Lord. he saw no results. And after all, who were his converts? Can you name his converts? There's hardly two or three that you can name that were his converts. He saw no results. Life was not fair. He was a victim. He was a victim of life. I mean, we're all victims of life, right? We're just the victims of life. No, we're not the victims. He wasn't a victim. The only person that was a victim in this world was the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not victims. So who is he going to blame? Oh, he blames his mother. He blames his mother. Blames his mother. Can you imagine that? My mother's fault. She's the one who brought me in the world and in a situation that I don't like. So here we see the blaming game. I'm a victim and somebody else is always to blame. Never me. Never me. Somebody else. I'm the victim. So typical of all who won't deal with their own heart. He was angry. He cried. He was a weeping prophet. And he blamed others. And ultimately, when we blame others, it's obliquely a blame to God. So he called God a liar. Notice in verse 18. He says, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as water that fail? So the water that failed. So a water supply, a failed water supply. I thought the Lord was the water of life, but he's failed. That's his point of view. That's Jeremiah's point of view. And so we have to keep in mind, we have a heart. Our heart's the only one that we can deal with, the only one that we can change. And if we're not careful in dealing with our heart, then ultimately we're the victim of what God has brought on us, and our blame is at God. So we're dealing with hearts. We're dealing with hearts. And so, I mentioned that last time, but here we're back to this. So whose heart was hard, and the only heart he could change? Whose heart was hard? His heart. And his heart was the only heart that could be changed. Now later on, Jeremiah says, in the classic passage that we all know about, Jeremiah 17:9, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, who's saying this? Well, Jeremiah is saying this. He's the one. But as we read this verse, quite often we're thinking, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So do you know it about your heart? Now I'm thinking, do you know this about your heart? Not me. Is he talking about somebody else? No. He's talking about himself. Who's got the hard heart right now as he's complaining to God about his calling in life? He does. So he says the heart is deceitful above all things. What did Jeremiah know about a deceitful heart? Well, when he called God a liar, who's the deceitful one here? Who's the liar? And what did he know about the being desperately wicked? Who comes to God and calls God names? Who does that? Who does that? So, and who can know it? Do we know it? Well, I know you got hard hearts. But the Bible says you have hard hearts. I know that. But do I know I may have a hard heart? Do I may know that? All right, so Jeremiah 17. Another place that deals with this about the heart. The fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. So the heart of a fool discovers itself. Discovers itself. And so who's the fool? Well, hear from the fool's heart and you'll find out who the fool is. Mm. So his heart discovers itself. I am a fool. Sometimes people say, follow your heart. No, follow your heart. You better follow the word of God. follow your heart and follow the word of God. And so the question here, or the exclamation point I'm making to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, it's your heart. See, so there, centuries later, I can look back. So Jeremiah, you've got a heart problem. But in prophecy, he probably look forward and say, I have one. Everyone has a heart problem. So we have to deal with the heart. So now, as we read on through the passage, verse 13, Scripture says, thy substances and thy treasures will I give to the spoil without price, and that for all thy sins, even in all thy borders. In other words, the Lord is responding to him. He's saying, you know the meager substances you have, Jeremiah? I'm going to give them away. Well, wait a minute, where's the encouragement here? He's not pandering him. Where's the encouragement here? He says, I'm going to give everything you own and what everybody else owns away for free. All right, so maybe he was looking to the Lord to help him in his little pity party. And the Lord said, you know, everything you have, I'm giving away. Wait a minute. That's not the way I want this conversation to go. All right, so he was already poor. I mean, what did the prophets make back in those days? They didn't make much. And the Lord informed him that he and his people would lose their possessions for spoil. And this judgment was upon all because of the sins of all, including the complaining prophet. So when judgment comes to a nation, it comes to everyone in the nation. And we have no perfect people in the nation, so it comes upon those who are outrageously sinful and those who don't deal with their heart. All right, so verse 14. And I will make thee to pass with thine enemies. Now here the Lord gives some encouragement. Into a land which thou knowest not. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, which shall burn upon you. Now the you there is the people of the southern kingdom. In the early part of verse 14, the thee is referring to Jeremiah. I will make thee, Jeremiah, to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not. But the fire is going to come upon you, that is the bigger, the nation itself. So he makes his appeal, and then the Lord begins to interrupt him. So verse 15 says, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. No, that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Now, he's going to be taken away. If you look what the Lord is hinting at, I'm going to deliver you. Don't miss the point, Jeremiah. I'm going to deliver you. Look there in chapter 40 of Jeremiah. Here's the aftermath. Judgments falls on Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar and his army comes in. They take captives. They're still alive. So in verse chapter 40, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah when he had taken him being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive and of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, so here's the captain of Nebuchadnezzar's guard, a military man that probably slaughtered many, many of the Jews. He says, took Jeremiah and said unto him, the Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. So here the enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't a believer at this point, but he's saying, Jehovah, your God, brought this judgment on you because of your evil. That's a theological statement by an unsaved Babylonian. And now the Lord hath brought it, and done according as he hath said, because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice, therefore this thing has come upon you. So that's the theology of an unsaved man. But he understands this. Now verse 4. And now, behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. So this unsaved man now is talking to Jeremiah. If it seem good unto thee, Jeremiah, to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. Who's behind this? The Lord is behind this. He's the one behind this. And I will look well unto thee. Can you imagine an enemy captain, a guard, a captain of the guard coming to one of the Jews there and saying, I'm going to look well to you after he slaughtered thousands of Jews. I will look well unto thee, and if it seem ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee, whether it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, thither go. So he says, you can go with me, or you can stay. Now who's behind this? It's the Lord, to whom he complains that was a liar. So was the Lord lying to him? No, I'll take care of you, says that. I'm going to take care of you. So, but this is future events for Jeremiah. All right, so in verse 15 through 17, Jeremiah at this point, having his complaint interrupted by the Lord, Jeremiah continued with his appeal. With abrupt imperatives, the prophet commanded Jehovah to, so an imperative is command. So the Lord wants us to command him when we're commanding him in the will of God, because that means he knows, we know what the will of God is. And so with the imperative, he commanded the Lord to remember him, to visit, to revenge, and to take me not away. He wanted vengeance while still alive, so he wanted the Lord to revenge him while he's still alive. After all, Jeremiah suffered rebuke from the Jews. Moreover, he was faithful to the Lord and should have only positive blessings. He should be honored and not defamed because of his faithfulness. God's words were found as he received them back in the 1-2. And he ate and consumed the divine revelation. Remember back in chapter 1. But his point is that I've been a faithful servant of the Lord. I should have blessings now. All right, so he should be honored and not defamed because of faithfulness. God's words were found as he received them, and he ate or consumed divine revelation. So let's look quickly back there in chapter 1. Remember this, chapter 1. Lord, word comes to him as a young man. And first of all, he'd probably been reading Moses and his devotions, and he says in verse 6, then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. All right, tries to get out of this. We can't get out of our calling in life. Mm. We can't get out of it, except by death. Do you want to go that route? Mm. God's given us all a calling. He's called us. We all have a calling in life. So anyway, we find out when in the last verse of chapter 1, he challenges him, in verse 17 rather, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. So here he accepts the God's call in his life. And in fact, we find out in the verse here, in verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Think of this, he understood, by the time we get through chapter 1, he understood God has called me to be a prophet. And this is wonderful, because he realized this is my calling in life. Now, he didn't know how difficult it might be. But he rejoiced, God has called me to be a prophet. And and I'm rejoicing in it. You know, and it is a blessing to know what the Lord's will is in your life. It's a blessing. That's where joy comes. When you're banging around in life and you don't know what the Lord wants to do with you and have no idea, and you're thinking in your heart, I should do this, I should do that, rather than revelation scripture, you don't have joy. Banging around in life. And yet, he had joy. He had rejoicing in his heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So here, Jeremiah had joy and rejoiced in knowing his life calling to be a prophet of the Lord, Jehovah Elohim of hosts. In like manner, Isaiah, we see this in Isaiah 6, 8 through 9, I've just given you a verse there, was willing to receive the divine call of service and then given the difficult call. He didn't get the difficult calling of what he was, difficulty of his calling until he surrendered to receive the call and obey the call. But here scripture says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom am I, or whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. So I'm surrendering to the Lord's will. All right, next sentence. It's going to be a difficult one. Now, if the Lord said, my will for your life is difficult, now you're willing to surrender? No. But if he says, will you surrender to do the will of God? Yes. Now it's going to be a very difficult one. See the order there? So the Lord said, go tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. In other words, these people are not going to respond to the Lord's will in your life. They're not going to respond. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't sound so great. I need to see results. Who said you need to see results? It's the Lord who gives the results. He takes care of all that. He wants you to take care of your responsibility in your heart. And then he'll do whatever he wants with us. And so then Ezekiel chapter 3, 1 through 7 as well. Ezekiel had received the word of God as well. And then he was given a difficult task at hand. So Jeremiah now in verse 17. He begins to advance his case. He advances his case why he should have blessings and great prosperity here and fruit in his life. So he's still advancing his case. Advancing his case for an enjoyable service with fruit and prosperity. The prophet took a stand for truth and was crushed. It says, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers nor rejoiced. I sat alone of thy hand, for thou hast filled with me with indignation. And so here he's indicating he did what was expected of him, took a stand for truth. He was rigid in defending the word of God and forsook the assembly of mockers and did not rejoice in the worldly sinners. He tells us in all of this. And through all this, the people rejected him. They rejected the divine judgment that was looming on them. The call of salvation and service brings the Christian into the arena with Satan and the world. So once you become a Christian, you're under attack by Satan and the world. Mm-hmm. And he wants to bring out the worst of you. And if you don't challenge and check your heart, he'll bring it out. He'll bring it up. Satan will take over. The difficult battle begins, as Paul said in Philippians 1:29, for unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to what? Suffer for his sake. He's telling the Philippian church that. You believe on the Lord, but once you enter into the realm of believing or salvation, the battle starts. Right. Difficulties come from all angles. We might ask the question, we all have to ask this question, how are you enjoying the trials and setbacks in the battle? Why do they come? The Lord brings these for us to check our hearts. Not other people's hearts, but our heart. He brings us into the difficulties. And so, how are you enjoying the trials and setbacks? Well, you're not supposed to enjoy them, but you're supposed to reflect on your heart. Right. Check your heart. Check your heart. So, notice what Paul says there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We probably familiar with the passage. And 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice in this, we look in 2:1. Now therefore, my son, be what? Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The Lord gives us grace in the battle. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So that's what this church is all about. If you're a church member, that's what we're about. But what's the next verse? As we're attempting to do this, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man at war hath entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we're in a battle. We're in a battle for truth, passing the truth on and so on. And so, of course, there's a battle. The battle does come. And then verse 18, here we see, it says, why is my pain perpetual? And my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed, wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? What a foolish approach to the Lord. His pain in the rejection of truth was perpetual, and his wound was incurable and not healed. Every day he woke up early to preach repentance because of the coming doom and was rejected. I go to work every day and everybody hates me. All right, what are you going to do tomorrow? I go to work tomorrow and everybody's going to hate me. That's what you're going to face. In great danger and brashness, he called Jehovah a liar. Great danger, the Lord could have dealt with him right then. And the word a liar there only cures one other time in Micah 1:14. And that the Lord was a failed water supply. I thought you were the water of life, and I'm not getting water. I'm getting thirsty. Things are falling apart. Jeremiah attempted to resign from his call. He attempted to resign from his call. And later in chapter 20, same thing. Now, later in Scripture, we find out Demas dropped out of the battle. 2 Timothy 4:10. We're familiar with that. Let's look there again. Just to see the Scripture here. That's the Scripture. Lord, speak through the Scriptures here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So the present world, this is the draw. Draws people into the present world. They want the things of the world, the riches, the wealth, all the things that the world offers, which are empty. And he dropped out. You know, I look back on my seminary training way back there in 1970 and knew many of the students there later on and trained some of them and so on. And so many of the men that I know today have dropped out. Dropped out of the Lord's will, been forced out of the Lord's will from sin or whatever it is. Now, I want to say this. If I would have dropped out of the Lord's will back when things were pretty thick and heavy, my 40s and 50s, things going on, I probably wouldn't be 81. Probably wouldn't be 81. I wouldn't live to be 81. Now, that's no credit to me. That's what the Lord expected of me.
Amen.
All that. But if we are not going to serve the Lord, then what use are we to Him?
Okay.
That's our calling in life. Amen. Mm-hmm. So the calling in life is for everyone. Koinon life is for everyone to be saved. Koinon life for young people, obey their parents. Koinon life for parents, be godly parents. Koinon life for couples, love each other. Koinon life for church members, serve the Lord. Koinon life for pastors, be faithful to the end.
Amen.
Everyone has a calling. Don't you drop out of the calling. Don't you be a Demas. Don't think, well, Demas was a pastor, a preacher, and so that's not me, so I don't have to worry about that. Oh, yeah. So many people drop out of their calling in life. So, finally, he wanted to resign. He wanted to give up his calling. What a blessing to know what the Lord wants in our lives and for us to be able to fulfill it. But if we reject all of that, we will have sorrow and no joy and no blessings in our life.
That's right.
Now, the Lord's gracious. He's been gracious to all of us because we're all right now in the building still alive.
Amen.
He's been gracious to us all. The Lord is gracious, and he gave Jeremiah a second chance. So let's look there in our final passage, in passage 19:21. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, all right, thou, that's Jeremiah, if you return to your calling. So the word behind return there is the word, Hebrew word, shuv. We get our word shove from that, all right, so you learn the Hebrew word. Shuv is often translated as repent. So he's saying if you'll return or repent of your sin, accusing me to be a liar and wanting to drop out of the Lord's will, if you will return, then I will bring thee again. Again, see the second chance. I'll bring you again. Thou shalt stand before me. If thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. So four times in this verse he used the word shuv. Translated return, bring again, return and return. So the emphasis on return, emphasis on repent, emphasis on getting back into God's will. That's pretty emphatic, isn't it?
Mm.
The Lord would renew promises to Jeremiah. So Jeremiah, I'll give you a second chance. Some in the Bible never had a second chance. The prophet in 1 Kings 13, he didn't get a second chance. Bible doesn't always give a second chance. But he gave Jeremiah a second chance, and so he tells him there in verse 20, and I will make thee... make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and deliver thee, saith the Lord, and I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. So the Lord promises that, and in the scripture that we just read in chapter 40, the Lord did the very thing. He brought him out. The Lord's good for his promises, even when we fail. So here in this passage, this is the best at his very worst. And if he's the best at his very worst, that's Jeremiah, how do we fit into all this? We're believers. We've been redeemed by the Lord. But we can bring out the black side of us and black heart of us at any time. And so, it always gets back. So the Lord is not saying, no, I'm sorry you have such a difficulty. This is what I called you to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll give you one more chance, second chance. You want to do this, Jeremiah? You want to do this or not? If he were to say no, we may never heard of Jeremiah. We may never heard of the book Jeremiah. So it's hard to say no to the Lord. And so it gets back to our heart.
Mm.
Our heart, not anybody else's heart, our heart. How are we? How are we relative to the Lord? Are we a victim of life? We blame everybody else. where are we in life? Now we need to deal with our own heart. Heart is the only one that can be changed. So that's the passage at hand, and that's the passage the Lord wants us to understand tonight. Dealing with the heart. Our Father, we praise you for this time. We thank you for the testimony of Jeremiah that he did want to get back into your graces with the Lord and serve him. I pray that you might help us to reflect on this, examine our hearts, and help us to be the believer and fulfill the calling that you have for us in our lives as obedient believers, church members, Bible Baptist Church. Pray that you work in hearts and lives. Now we ask, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.